I watched The Running Man in its entirety the other night.
Oh, really? Because you were like, well, let's get used to this idea. This is just a matter of time now.
Then I watched Back to the Future 2.
Clockwork Orange just to see the exactly. Deal.
Right.
Yeah.
Right on. And then I'll follow it up with Dr. Strangelove. Kaboom. And
finished it with, Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah.
I was going to say The Road, but Dr. Strangelove is better.
Yeah. Because it's final. It's done.
It's over, guys.
I mean, we are about two press conferences away from Trump talking about precious bodily fluids. Given recent behavior, I mean, listeners, welcome to the Shotcast, first of all. Second of all, I don't care what your political stripe is. I think we can all agree that a crazy person is in charge of this country now. And... you're either of one of two minds about it, I think. One is dismay and horror, and the other is detached bemusement. And I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, but I find the shit funny.
It feels like the Tower of Terror.
Yes.
You're not going to die. It's going to be a little bit scary, but somebody could have left a bolt off and you could die.
Yeah. There is a chance that one or other passengers on the ride are gonna be dismembered.
Roller coasters get stuck upside down. That shit happens, man.
I've said this before, probably on this show, but if there were a roller coaster at a theme park that had 100 seats, and they said, look, this roller coaster is the fastest, longest,
best ride ever.
It is the best roller coaster, but one of the people on every car, one of that 100, is gonna die. I think I would get on board. I like those odds, you know.
That's why roller coasters are fun, because that actually happens every once in a while.
What if the whole crux of that ride is that you get through the whole roller coaster, everybody gets off, and you're looking around, you're like, oh, who? And everybody gets off, and then you just hear a gunshot.
I'm still in.
You're still in.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, again, the odds of me... And look, I don't have what you would call great luck. But, you're talking to a guy whose car was once set on fire for no discernible reason.
So, it just happened.
Somebody didn't like that fucking car.
Yeah, apparently not. I just have poor taste in automobiles, apparently. Yeah.
It's like, what? I'm going to save this dude from this fucking vehicle.
Yeah, that was a treat.
But I want like a Logan's Run situation where someone tries to get away and all the park staff's like, just trying to murder this guy indiscriminately.
And it becomes carousel?
Yeah.
All right. I'm on board with that, too. And especially if other members of the park could collect a bounty.
Oh, God.
can I throw in a little a boy and his dog while we're at it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Underground breeding programs with Jason Robards and clown makeup. I mean, if you're going to have a fucked up apocalyptic future, that's a pretty bad one.
A Boy and His Dog is... a woefully underseen movie.
It's fantastic. It is. Yeah. But
fantastic.
We're more on track for like a water world situation, I think.
Yeah. But you know what makes A Boy and His Dog for me? The actor that does the narration for the dog makes that movie by himself.
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, because it's not ridiculous. It's such a matter-of-fact kind of voice.
The only other dog movie with voiceover that I ever really liked in my life was Oh, Heavenly Dog with Chevy Chase. And it was for the exact same reason. Chevy Chase is fun to listen to.
All right. Yeah. I'm willing to go with you there. Yeah. Did I say this was the Shotcast, the video game podcast?
Where we talk about apocalyptic end-of-the-world movies.
Yeah.
And Oh, Heavenly Dog.
I think there's an element of, like, if you're talking about talking dogs, something's gone horribly wrong.
He died and came back as a dog, and then he has to solve his own murder as a dog.
That seems difficult.
I'm not saying it's a good movie. I'm saying I enjoy it for the same reason that I enjoy A Boy and His Dog.
You're saying, well...
good narration by the dog character.
Yeah, but there's a lot less underground breeding programs hosted by a clown-faced Jason and Robards.
Almost in, rapes followed by cannibalism.
Right. In O
Not
Heavenly
a lot of that.
Dog.
Not yeah. as much, no.
I'll tell you, all right, if we're talking about animal-related, enjoyable, but not great movies, Condor Man. The hell ever happened to that movie? That movie's all right.
God, I remember the just the ad campaign for that made it seem like it was going to be the best thing ever. It was huge.
It was huge.
It was huge.
Fucking huge, man.
It's big league. So video games continue to happen almost every day.
Bigly video games.
Bigly video
big
games.
Big time.
Believe me, video games are happening. And
that's what's good, because it's a good thing, and they're good because of that. Believe me.
I
trust me.
I got to tell you, the thing, you know, the day we're recording this was the press conference where Donnie J, as I like to call him, where Donnie J just flipped his weird wig.
Literally.
It was really bizarre. And
I think it was Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, there
did
were.
You see,
he just went full
did you
on.
See the foreign newspaper that printed a picture of Alec Baldwin as Donald Trump next to the Pope on their front page?
Yep, yep. It's an easy mistake to make. Baldwin does a good Trump. But one of the things that came out of today's press conference was the news is fake because it's fake news, it's hard to argue with that kind of logic. So
yeah, airtight
that. Yeah, I mean, you win, Donnie J. You got me. I never thought I was going to have to make that distinction before, but now I feel like I can. So yeah, the big league video games happening. All right. First of all, let's introduce everybody. Justin McFerrin, how are you? How you doing?
I'm doing great. I got a new microphone. Hopefully, it sounds wonderful.
Sounds like butter.
Yeah.
Nice.
I honestly have never been more aroused.
Well,
that's
I have that effect.
I feel like your head is right next to my ear. I can feel your hot breath. That's how good it sounds.
We should do some ASMR. That's how we get the new listeners.
Can we ASMR like welcome. We just tell someone how to play Super Mario. Now you press the right button.
Welcome to the Shotcast. Tonight we're going to talk about some news. Yeah.
If you just
we're pioneers
just want to take
the ASMR podcast. Has anyone done that?
I'm sure.
We faith heal as well. I don't know if the listeners know that we are all licensed faith healers.
Yes.
Licensed from where is my question, but
Jesus.
Oh, fair enough. Jesus, you.
Yeah. A cosmic entity that is just unnamed.
It's just called Jesus College.
I thought that was Liberty University. I might have confused.
So we can do that here too.
All right. Good. Send us $100 as well as, here's what I need. I need you to send $100 cash, please, in an envelope along with the ailment from which you suffer, written on legal yellow notepaper. That's important. I know it sounds weird, but
like 8.5 by 14.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And also a seed. Doesn't matter what kind of plant, just a seed. And that's just the kind of hokum that's going to fix your sciaticus.
Mm-hmm.
And sciatica. If you send that in the next 20 minutes, I'll anoint a vial of Sundrop and mail it back to you.
Are you talking, about
sun
anointed Sundrop? Anointed.
Yeah, it's anointed.
Man. How much? $100?
Look.
That's it?
But only the first only the first 20 that arrive get the holy Sundrop of Nashville.
Yeah.
We should put this shit on eBay. I don't know why we're just straight up selling our limited stock of Suntrop.
Honestly, like, there is part of me that has always wanted to go into the religious huckster business. Because you know, I feel like the money's just waiting for you there.
It is. And I can always tell, there's always a lull in between grilled cheese sandwiches with Jesus' face on them. And during that lull, I always think to myself occasionally, I should just make one and sell it, make $10,000. Nobody's selling those right now.
Here's what you do. You get yourself a 12-pack of the Suntrop, and you post each can individually on eBay.
That's $1,200 investment up front.
Saying that you have personally taken each of these Suntrop cans to the Dead Sea and submerged them in the healing waters.
Yeah.
And that you believe...
We call that infusing. They're infused.
Holy infused Suntrop. The Father, the Suntrop, and the Holy Ghost is how you advertise this.
Oh, God. What have I done?
You're going to get copyright infringement from Suntrop shit soda, the Mountain Dew knockoff.
Hey, whoa, bro. Dim's fighting words.
But
Suntrop was one first, and it's got more caffeine in it.
But I guarantee you, those cans get bought and way more than you would expect.
Way more than you
expect. This is an experiment we're going to conduct. We're going to make this happen. We're going to see what we can generate income-wise off of holy-infused Suntrops.
We should just start, because eBay always takes that shit down when people put it up for sale, because it's fucking scam. And so we should just start our own eBay website where all we sell is that crap. That's it.
Shod Bay.
Shod Bay. Yeah, that's nice. Potato chips eaten into the head of Jesus Christ. You know, like the shape. Crucifixes made out of, carrots.
All we got to do is throw a merch page up on the website. Listeners, go to sdfgaming.com/Suntrop.
This is going to happen.
And you will be able to purchase the Dead Sea holy infused Suntrops that will cure everything from stains in your your garments to the worst of the cancers.
And sending us money at this point is pretty much the only way to get us to talk about video games now.
That's right. We're going to hold this podcast hostage until somebody gives us some money. Otherwise, it's nothing but Suntrop talk.
Yep.
The Suncast. All Suntrop, all the time.
Kind of like the Dropcast.
This is sad because that's totally something I would try and do. Because I love Suntrop. All hail Suntrop.
All hail our benevolent overlord Suntrop. Johnny Dolan.
Yes, sir.
How about you steer this train back on the rails?
Oh, man, I don't know if I could do that.
All right, well,
beat that.
Good try.
I feel like I haven't seen railroad ties for some time here.
I remember there being tracks.
Then it got bumpy.
And then I met Sarah.
Yeah, it's wild.
It's been that long. Sorry.
What do you want to know, man? What do you want to know?
I was just asking how you were. I almost did a spit take there. I thought I had a second. So I was taking a drink of water, and the next thing I hear in the cans, as we say in the podcasting biz, is, what do you want to know?
What?
like you're
how many people have you killed?
Right, like you're a government informant, and I'm trying to shake you down for some information. Nah, just how are you? How you doing?
Listen, man, I want to get out of here as quick as possible. Just tell me the answers that are going to get me out of here.
My lawyer said to say nothing.
I plead the fifth on all video game related conversation.
I'm doing all right. Busy, but fine. That's the short answer.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a little bit of that going around. I think it's been busy time.
Everyone's under
for
control,
us all.
But, could use a break to play more video games, pretty much.
Oh, boy. Let me tell you. In fact, let's get right into that. All right, here's what I want to hear about you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear you guys talk about For Honor, which I did not play, but I'm very curious about it. So I'll let you decide amongst yourselves who's going to start that little tidbit, but I want to know about that game.
I feel like Justin and I are pretty much on the same page on this game.
Yeah, I think we're probably going to have a similar opinion on it.
I'm going to use a one-word description of it, and I'm going to see if Justin agrees with it. Weird.
Yeah, definitely weird.
Yeah.
I don't want to say ill-conceived, but
no.
Certainly it seemed like one particular person's thing that they wanted to make happen. It just seems like someone had to be really into that kind of stuff.
It's very focused. I mean, it's essentially... So then I didn't play any of it, but there's like a story campaign that you can do for this game, which... And I watched a little video of it, and it's weird. So I guess we should say what the hell this game is.
Yeah.
It is Ubisoft?
Yes.
Is it Ubisoft's Tom Clancy's For Honor?
No. For Honor, Medals of Division.
The Destruction of Jared Sin. Yes.
Wildlands.
It is all those things. It truly is. It's when you're playing multiplayer... online multiplayer against other real people. It's a third person MOBA. It's totally a MOBA board that you're on. There's three lanes. There's a center lane, there's a right lane, and there's a left lane. And there are capture points that you have to hold. And you do that by occupying that space uncontested. And it doesn't take very long to like lock it down. So there's A, B, and C, right? So if we run up to A, like the round starts, Justin and I are, I was playing like the Viking character. You were what, doing samurai?
I was like a ninja samurai dude, yeah.
Yeah, so there's three classes. You can be a Viking, you can be a samurai, or you can be a knight. And then within each of those three main classes, there's like sub-classes. They're all knights, but they have different abilities. Or they're all Vikings, but they have, you know, kind of different skill sets or whatever. Round starts, you run out onto the battlefield, and you go try to take one of these capture points because there's like a ticket system, basically, like Battlefield. So it's weird, because, so it's kind of like what's that game mode called in Battlefield?
Conquest or something?
Conquest, yeah. So you're just trying to capture flags and hold them, but then there's also this three-lane MOBA thing going on, and then it's a fucking fighter game where you have to memorize, like, button combos.
It's like a MOBA brawler, kind of.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's really weird.
You're definitely on a MOBA board. There is AI on your team and the other team. And it's basically 4v4. No matter, you know, you can get in there and play by yourself and have three AI teammates and go play by yourself and not ever hop online, which is nice. Or you need to hop online and... there's a lot of different game modes. There's 1v1, 2v2, the 4v4 stuff where you have to capture the points. But you can cut off the different lanes, just like in a lot of the different MOBA kind of games. And then the fighting is very reminiscent of... I don't know what I would really...
It's weird. We should almost just explain it.
Is it like Dark Souls-ish? I mean, I've seen some of this at work, but that's what it reminded me of.
You press a button
to go into what is sort of like the fighting stance.
Yeah, you kind of lock onto the other guy.
To the other guy, and you can hit a button to swap targets. And then from there, I was playing on mouse and keyboard. As you move the mouse, you're changing your stance to change your block so that if an enemy is attacking from high, I move my mouse up high in the center, and I'm going to block that strike as it comes in. And there are indicators to kind of tell you where things are coming from. There's that. You have a, you know, heavy attack, light attack. You can, like, parry, and then you can, like, tackle people.
You can do, a block breaker maneuver. Yeah. So you can, like, knock their shield away and kind of stun them. You can pick them up and throw them over your shoulder and, like, run them. And if you're close to a wall, you can run the guy up to the wall and kind of smash him into it, and he falls, and then your guy, like, knees him in the face. So it's kind of a combo if you can execute things in certain areas, I guess. You can throw people off ledges, which is real cool when you do that. So that's kind of an instant kill.
Your mobility is heavily penalized once you're in that fighting stance. So it's not like a game like Batman where you can just kind of jump around and you can mash buttons and kill people. You kind of get locked into almost like, oh, now I'm playing a fighting game. And then when you're out of that, you can run around I mean, you can still attack, but you're not in that attack stance. So you, I don't think you can block.
Yeah,
but
you can't make defensive maneuvers unless you are in that fighting stance.
So it's kind of an interesting layout, an interesting concept. I mean, it's just weird.
I played some more with Wade, and we did the 2v2 against AI, and that was a lot of fun because you didn't have to deal with any of the other bullshit of like the MOBA part of it. It was just kind of practicing those combat maneuvers, and I never really even went into the menus to look at
The menus.
Like, oh Jesus, the menus are a fucking nightmare in that game. Like, is this clickable? I can't tell. How do I get to it if it is?
There's no continuity in you'll go on one menu and like everything's on the right side, and then you'll click on something and then everything's on like the left side, and then it's just a nightmare of menus.
There's
just
parts of it that look like I should be able to interact with it, and I was using the controller, and I couldn't get it to go over there, so I would switch to the mouse and put the mouse cursor over it and realize, oh, that's not clickable, but it totally looks like it should be. Like, it was like your character stats and the treatment on it graphically looked exactly like the buttons on the left side of the screen that you could click on, so it was just odd. But the game, I like it. But I don't think there's any depth to it at all. Like, if you don't like that core fighting system, you're not going to like that game. That's it. There's literally nothing else to it except this, I don't want to say simple, but it's uncomplicated fighting system.
Yeah.
It's all about timing. Like, if you don't get the timing right, you're just not going to be very good at it.
It's definitely, I think, geared more toward people being in more like a competitive match where it's not so fast-paced that you're going to have to be this super crazy genius to play like, a lot of the other fighting games and be good. Yeah. It's something that a lot of people can get into and probably be fairly competitive with.
It's about it's all about double teaming and not getting double teamed.
Yeah, exactly. There is some strategy to it, I mean, certainly if you were 4v4 in humans, it'd probably work out a lot better if you were communicating.
Yeah.
The thing I see happening with this game, though, is it's, it's another Ubisoft thing where I don't think the content in the game will become, we'll get a lot more to it. I think you'll get a lot more characters once this game comes out in DLC.
They've already announced plans for, like, free-to-play.
Yeah.
Buy new dudes, get shit for them.
Yeah, they have an overarching, like, multiplayer campaign thing where it's like, well, you pick a faction, and you go play multiplayer matches, and you allot points that you can then go on to the world map, and it's like you're waging a war, and everyone who plays for your faction on multiplayer is adding to these points to either attack or defend different areas, and then it's like every week the territories update, and it's like, so if you took, you can, essentially your faction could take over an entire territory over the course of a season of playing this on multiplayer. It's like PlanetSide 2, kind of, where you take over hunks of the map, and that updated in a certain time frame, and then people would just run around and be like, oh, it's our, our thing now. So there's a meta game to this that I think people could get into.
Yeah, there's not much to it, though. Yeah, it's real kind of tacked on, almost. I don't know.
And then, you just have to have some friends who are like super into this kind of a game.
Like, if you play For Honor and you like it, go to like the For Honor subreddit and find like-minded people and play that game with them, because that is going to be the best way to enjoy it.
Yeah. Like, oh,
If you just got some buddies that are going to try it out, like, it's not going to last long. Like, I don't see our group of friends buying it. Like, when this game hits $15 and everybody's like, yeah, that looks really cool, I want to try it, that's my price point, we all buy into it, we'll probably play it once.
Yeah, I probably won't buy it.
Yeah.
Just to be perfectly honest, I'm not trying to trash on it. It runs great. It looks great.
Yeah, I mean, it was fine. There was a like, decent frames per second. The graphics are real cool looking. And I said it when I played with you, and then I said the same thing to Wade. The whole time I was playing For Honor, I wanted to turn it off and turn on Shadow of Mordor and play that.
Yeah, the art style to it definitely looks a lot like that and reminds you of that, the settings and stuff.
Yeah.
I think there's a market for it. And people, there will be people who get into it. I will say, past that, I really kind of respect Ubisoft. They get a lot of crap.
Yep.
But they're doing all these betas, and you know, I kind of give a little credit for that. You know, I'm checking it out. I'm probably not going to get it, but I respect the fact that they are putting stuff out there for you to do like that. I feel like that should be the standard now.
It should.
Yeah, sure, it's an alpha or a beta or whatever, but really it's a demo.
Yep.
You know, really it's that, and I think more games should do.
I think that works in their favor more than not, because you're not going to have enough time in an open beta to get your fill of that game. It's essentially going to, you know, get you, oh, well, yeah, this is kind of fun. I'm starting to learn how to do it. And then the beta ends and you're like, oh, I guess I'll buy it. I was having a good time. So I think it's just a good choice on their part to, you know, give you the opportunity to play that stuff up front. So, I mean, I enjoyed it. I certainly wouldn't get it for full price. Somewhere down the line, if there's a lull and I see it on Steam for, you know, $15. Yeah, it's worth $15. It's just not my... I was going to say earlier that when I went digging around in the menus, I found the move list where it was like what the sub character that I had chosen, you know, here's all of his combos, and I was playing with a controller, so it's XX, XY, XY, right bumper, you know, and it's laying out all those patterns for you, and you could just look at it and memorize all that shit. And I've never liked games that had that kind of a system in it. I don't know what it is. I just don't like button combos. It's like a fighting game. I stink at fighting games. I don't like it for the same reason. So I think that's kind of my biggest beef with this game. But those games are super popular. So it's just me in this case. So
same here.
It was really cool looking. I thought it was great looking. So I watched some videos. That's my recommendation to anybody listening to this. Go watch like gameplay videos and get a real sense of what that game is, because what you see in those gameplay videos is what that game is. There's nothing else beyond that. So,
yeah. I mean, what I saw, there were certainly elements of the game that intrigued me, but I think much like a lot of this style of game in terms of the online component, is, you know, like you have to have a crew to run with.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think with
that's
this
the
one,
MO.
Though, I think with For Honor, though, you could randomly match up online and still have a good time, because the people who are going to be playing that game are going to be just like you. They're going to be fans of the game. There's no like, I sort of like For Honor, I guess I'll play some tonight. I think it's either it's your deal or, I can go play something else with my time. I just don't see any middle opinions on it, really.
All right. Well, I wanted to get the lowdown from people I trust, but I wasn't able to get any of them on the line. So, Justin, what else you been playing?
You called me, man.
The only thing really past that I played is I've been going back and playing the Medal of Honor games. I played Warfighter, which was like the newest one, and then I saw just on YouTube randomly a guy had been gone back and started playing some of the older missions in the just like a Medal of Honor game just called Medal of Honor. Like it's like the fourth or fifth game in the series, which is kind of weird. But yeah, I was just going back and playing those. It's kind of cool to go revisit some of those old games. The campaign in that is just insanely good, and I don't think there's really anything quite like that. Even like Titanfall 2 is kind of like it, where it's just there's a lot of in that campaign you're putting these missions where you're just always going, or it's always kind of going forward. It's almost like push forward, kind of. You're always just going, and kind of like Titanfall 2, where it just like never stops and the action just keeps on and keeps on. So it's fun to go back and play some older games sometimes, especially there's kind of been a lull. I'm waiting for Wildlands to come out and that Sniper Ghost Elite or whatever that one is.
Did you see they announced the open beta dates for Wildlands?
No.
Yeah, just today I saw a story, or I got an email from Ubisoft, I think it was, and it's the 24th through the 27th of February. They're doing an open beta for that game.
So is that, I wonder if that's the exact same play area or if it's going to be expanded.
I don't know. That would be cool if they gave you another area to fart around in.
Yeah, I would really appreciate that, because if it's just the same thing, open beta, I will probably, I'll probably play it again for another like 4 or 5 hours, but I probably won't do any of the missions. I'll probably just
fuck around with the system.
Fuck around with it. Yeah.
Try to figure out ways to get out of the map.
Yeah, there's easy ways to do that now. I've seen a bunch of videos. Oh, well, they'll probably patch a bunch of that crap too.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll hit that up too. And that I have, we'll go over it later in the news. I found that video game release schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is super helpful.
Yeah, there's some good shit on there. We'll talk about that later, though. That's the teaser.
Fair enough. No. I appreciate teasing a little bit of a bit of the later news. While you're feeling chatty there, John, how about you? What have you been playing?
I've also played Sniper Elite 4. It just came out on the 14th, 2 days ago. And I played a bit of it by myself. I kind of farted around on the first map. And then I played again last night and did the first two campaign missions with Wade in co-op. And it's the exact same game that you would play single player, but you can play co-op online. For anybody who's not familiar with Sniper Elite, it's the series where it has like the X-ray cam when you shoot guys with your sniper rifle and like their spleen explodes, or you can shoot them in the fucking testicles and their nuts blow up, or you can shoot them right through the eyeball and the back of their head explodes out and like brains go flying everywhere. It's very graphic, slow motion, bullet porn. But the game around it is actually really fun. I played all the way through Sniper Elite 3. Or 2 and 3, actually. I finished both of them. I bought the Zombie Army version of the game, which is very dated, but still fun for some of the same reasons. But Sniper Elite 4 is, I would say, so far the best one in the series, just from the standpoint that it's basically Sniper Elite 3, but it seems like they've really nailed down all the menu systems and all of the... it's got a really nice map. The in-game map is fantastic. There's a mechanic on it where... you can stealth around in this game and you can like hide in bushes, kind of like what was the Assassin's Creed did that at some point, where you could kind of crawl, like crouch walk into bushes and you would sort of disappear. But the way they do tell you that you're not visible in this game is it's just got like a circular GTA looking map in the corner, and your guy's at the center of the map. And when you're moving, there's like a light gray circle that kind of emanates out from your player, and that's your visibility on the map. And as you run, that circle will get bigger. If you're kind of slow, like crouch walking, it's pretty small. But the moment you walk behind cover and nobody can see you, or if you're like you go in one of these bushes or you walk into a tent, that little circle just shrinks down to nothing. So you know that you are invisible at that point. And it's one of the better ways to indicate like a stealth mechanic that I've seen in a game. If you walk into a dark area, that circle will kind of shrink around you because you became less visible. So they've removed it from having to be on the screen as like a separate meter and just incorporated it into the map, which I think is a really cool way to do that. Shooting's really fun. Sniping is fantastic in that game. You can zoom in with binoculars and mark guys. You can actually play the, I forget what the top level is called, like elite, or it's called hardcore. And in hardcore mode, you actually have to adjust for windage. You have to adjust for bullet drop. And it's really hard. I played it for a little bit and went, nope. And I turned all the assists back on. I just didn't have time to figure it out. Like I remember doing it in Sniper Elite 3 for a little bit and kind of getting a grasp on it, but it's you miss a lot more shots. There's just no way to be as accurate because you know there's a certain amount of guesswork involved in it. But when shit goes bad and you have to switch over to like you spawn at the very beginning of the game, you've got like a Thompson machine gun and you've got a Wellrod suppressed pistol, which is pretty sweet. So you can kind of you can stealth your way in and shoot guys in the head with your silenced pistol, or you can find a perch really far from, you know, the action. You can mark all the guys with your binoculars, and then you might have like planes flying overhead. And when a plane flies nearby, there'll be like an icon at the top of the screen that looks like a speaker kind of broadcasting sound waves. And that means that your sound is currently masked by whatever that thing is that's happening. So trucks driving by will do that sometimes. You can find power generators, like gas power generators, and you can go up and fuck with them and make them backfire. And while they're backfiring, if you shoot your sniper rifle, people can't hear it. So you can get off just tons of shots and nobody can figure out where the bullets are coming from because your sound is completely masked. And then they do find you and you whip out your Thompson and you can throw some grenades and you can put down mines. There's trip mines you can put down where you like stretch a wire across a door. So you can get yourself a sniping post and then mine all the entrances to it. So you can just sit up there and start shooting away and taking guys out. And if they do get to you, you know that a couple of rounds of them are going to blow up before they can get up, you know, to wherever you are in the building or something. So there's a lot of shit going on in it. And it's all that stuff was in Sniper Elite 3. It just feels like it's kind of really tight. There's a nice radial menu where you select your weapons that works really good. When Wade and I were going to play co-op, I got to the lobby and I chose co-op. And then I like says, what do you want to do? And I said, new game. And then there's a big button. It's just private. And I said, private game. And then it created the lobby and I was in it. And then there's a big button on the screen that says invite friends. I click that and the fucking Steam friends list pops up and I click the invite friend button and he showed up in the game. It was so goddamn simple. I couldn't believe it.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Like that's what I mean by they've got it like really tight. Like it just worked fine. I had 60 frames per second just pegged the entire time I was playing it. I had it maxed out on settings, set it to ultra on everything. VSync was on. Anything I could possibly do to slow the game down didn't slow it down at all. It was just nonstop 60 frames per second the entire time I was playing it. It was great.
Now, what's the, is there an overarching story in these games, or is it just like there's Nazis, you shoot them, and if you shoot them in the balls blow up?
There is. We skipped it all. played last night.
I'm just wondering, like, you know, they've stayed in the same sort of the World War II setting for almost all their game, all the games, I guess, And it's weird, like, you know, does it seem like at some point they're going to move on to another war setting, like a Vietnam or something?
I don't think so. Like the what?
Does it seem like they're just not going to be able, they're just not going to run out of this, the missions that they could come up with? There isn't a thing where it's like, well, now you've killed Hitler.
It's all about, like I've killed Hitler in different versions of this game like five or six different times.
Is that always just like, that's an extra mission? Just
that,
oh, hey,
that was
this
the
is...
pre-order DLC. There's a kill Hitler mission that I
gotcha.
Got. Hitler's out there roaming around in my computer right now. He's not dead yet, but I'll get him. Don't worry.
I've watched the video on of all the ways to kill him in the new one. It's pretty funny. You can like drop a submarine on it on top of his head, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, so it's kind of got a little bit of a Hitman element to it as well, because there's environmental stuff. There's, you know, like a cargo, like a pallet that's being lifted up on a pulley system or something, and you can shoot the block and tackle on it, and it'll drop on their head.
And, that is always the vibe I got from this. Is it's like, well, it's like Hitman, but if the emphasis was on making the sniping as realistic as possible, if you want it to be.
Yeah, and it's better than Hitman in a way, because when shit does go wrong, it's survivable. Like, you pull out your machine gun and you start just, you know, wasting guys with that thing. And you can pick up weapons that people drop. So, you know, you can, if you run out of ammo for your Thompson, you can pick an MP40 up off of a Nazi soldier and you know you're going to find ammo for that shit because they're all carrying them, you know. As you progress through the levels, you'll find, you know, guys that have different guns and things. So you get to try out all the weapons eventually just by picking them up off the ground. But it's, you can, when it gets fucked up and they know your position, it does like the, what was the game that did that? Where it would put a little ghost on the screen of where your last visible position was.
Oh, that was the Splinter Cell.
Splinter Cell.
One of the Splinter Cells.
So it's got that mechanic to it. So you can see where they're going to go, and then you can set up a position to, like, flank them because you know where they last saw you. So the game basically is trying to make you feel like the world's most badass sniper, and it does a really good job. It's fun. I just don't get tired of the X-ray kill cam thing. It's fucking gory and awesome every time. The best thing about this game versus, you know, comparing it to Sniper Elite 3 is when you played co-op in Sniper Elite 3, it did not do the X-ray kill cams. You could only see those when you played single player.
Right, right, right. I remember that. Yep. Yeah.
And it was a huge bummer because it's just like, I mean, I'm here for...
Yeah, like, what's the point?
Yeah. Like, yes, this game is fun, but that's like just the added awesome over-the-top part of this game. So, but it is in the co-op on Sniper Elite 4 that works. It works great.
So does that mean, like, you're like, I'm going to shoot him in the head, you shoot him in the foot, you shoot at the same time, and the X-ray does show both of those bullets at the same time?
I don't know. You would have to time it perfectly, I think, because the moment one of you fires, and it's cool because it does, it's not just every shot. It's kill shots that, I mean, they have some algorithm running in there that's like, is this shot spectacular enough to go into this slow motion shit?
Mm, no,
and
okay.
Because you'll get some headshots sometimes, and it'll show just like a really fast, like you'll see the gore, but it'll only be like 1 second of it, and then it'll cut back to the game. And it seems like those short ones happen when you're kind of in trouble in the game. Like there's a lot of guys who know your position or something, so it doesn't go into that whole drawn out thing. But it pauses it for both players. Like if I get a really good shot and it goes into the big, long, slow motion cam, you have to watch it as well because it pauses the action behind the scenes. And previously, like I had gone onto the Rebellion forums for Sniper Elite 3 and tried to like get a developer to answer the question, are you going to add co-op kill cams? And they never answered, you know, I never got an answer from the developer, but a lot of the people that were there would point me to articles and say, yeah, they've kind of sort of said that it was too jarring in testing and they didn't want to do it because, you know, it forces the other player to watch it. And my argument was always, just give me a menu option to turn it on or off. And that's essentially what they did with this one. You can go in and you can turn off kill cams if you don't want to see them.
It's like, fucking great. Thanks for nothing, John Dolan.
Yep, it's fucking great. So, yeah, I've been really enjoying it. I was really looking forward to it. There's not a lot of series where I finish a lot of games in the series. And I've, you know, this one's, you know, on schedule to be my third Sniper Elite that I've gone completely through, so...
Yeah, you love these games.
I really do. It's just the right amount of, you know, kind of third-person shooter, and if you set yourself up right, you can just sit in a tower and snipe like 20 guys in a row, and that's really fun. You can blow up gas cans next to them, and you can drop shit on their heads, and that's just fun. It's a good game.
Yeah, that's one of those I'll pick up once it hits the cheap bin a little bit, you know?
And it doesn't take long. Like, that game will be $40 in a couple months. There'll be a sale, you know. Yeah.
I am, but I've always enjoyed, I think I've got two or three. I think three, the one we played.
Yeah. I've got a couple of them.
And, it's like that game is absolutely a blast for all the reasons you mentioned. But the fact that they now have that kill cam in co-op is a big selling point.
I mean, it's great because you get to just appreciate good shots that your teammate makes. You know, it's like a showcase for good sniper shots. So I never understood why it wasn't in the other one. And I always thought that argument that, well, it takes you out of the game and the other players to sit there like that. Well, so what? What if they don't care? I just never got it. So problem solved.
Yep. That sounds great.
So immediately, just for that, it's a better game than Sniper Elite 3. So,
I've played a handful of games here, and trying to decide which should be the honorable mention. Let's start with the honorable mention because I haven't played nearly as much of that. I did pick up Neo for the PS4. It is a Dark Souls-ish game set in Japan. Well, you know, it starts in England in the Tower of London, but it is one of those games. I have never played a Dark Souls game before, but I really like the look of this one, and I, you know, always kind of wanted to try. And so I figured I would, rather than do the smart thing and pick up Dark Souls on the cheap somewhere, I was like, hey, this one looks cool. And I, you know, Resident Evil 7 scares me too much to play it. Because my progress through that game has been slow and usually ends with me going, please stop.
No.
So yeah, that one's scary a little, guys. It's a little scary.
Still playing it in VR.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only way I play it, but that's also the way that, as I told somebody the other day, like, the way they find my chubby body is on the floor with that stupid PlayStation VR headset on as yet another victim of Resident Evil 7.
You just look like the person from The Ring after the girls touch them.
Yeah, yeah, gives them the death stare, and I just, all stroked out and pale. Yeah, so that'll happen, is what I'm getting at. And, so I've been really inching my way through Resident Evil 7 because, as I mentioned, I can only play it in short bursts before I uncontrollably urinate on myself. And, Neo was, just one, it was kind of an impulse buy, but, I have discovered, you know, this is all part of my grand journey of self-discovery where all the games I thought I didn't like, I actually kind of do. And Neo falls into that category. I find that game incredibly frustrating, but I think that's kind of the point. And I do like the combat quite a bit. Like, once you, if you're in a rhythm, here's what's great about these games is it is all very timing based. You know, like when you were talking about For Honor, it reminded me of this. You know, it's RPG-ish in the sense that you are going to come across new weapons and new gear, and you equip the stuff that helps you kill stuff better or protects you better. And I haven't gotten a whole lot of magic yet, but there is an element of that in the game. And but what's great about it is when you get into the flow of the game and are just crushing people, like you just can't not ruin someone, that is real satisfying, where you're just tearing through, you know, a half dozen enemies, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're kind of playing this, you know, cat and mouse with every battle, which is kind of what I like about it. It's every interaction that you have, every battle that you have with any particular enemy is always a little bit of, okay, let me see what your windup looks like. Let me see what the animation start looks like. So when I see that, I know I need to dodge out of the way. And if I'm dodging the right way, I'm going to get behind you and I'm just going to fucking end you. That stuff is all really fun. Like I said, it's more of an honorable mention because I haven't played a ton of it yet. But I like what I've played so far. I just got to the point where the last play session I had, I was just banging my head against one section where there are two enemies, and I'm just too stupid to get both of those enemies right. But I'll tell you one thing that's super fun about it is one of your an item that you can use in the world is just rocks or stones is what they call them. And at first I thought, like, hey, is this a magical stone thing that I'm going to trade in for, you know, experience or something, or that's how I level up? Just good old-fashioned rocks is what they are. So, but what you can do with them is you can equip one of those, and if you've got like two or three enemies that are close enough together that attacking any one of them would trigger the others, and you just don't want to be in a situation where you have two or three people going after you if you can help it, that you can just chug this rock at them and bounce it off their noggin, and then they'll come get you. And so you can kind of, you know, aggro some of those enemies that way and leave the other ones, you know, for another time. And, but it's really good. It's a good looking game. It plays well, you know, because the game is so not twitchy, but certainly timing based. If the controls were sloppy or unresponsive, you know, that would just be a death sentence for a game like this. And all that works great. And so if you have a PlayStation 4 and you enjoy a Dark Souls style game, or you just want to get yourself into a game where the combat is very deliberately paced and, you know, like even the lowest level enemy can crush you if you're not careful. So if you like that kind of thing, if you want a game that kind of hates you and punishes you at every turn, this is one of those. So Neo is fine. I will report back on that as I make some headway. But the game that has I've spent the most time with of late is a guy I work with. Just recently picked up that PlayStation 4 Skyrim Special Edition game.
Ah.
Right? And I was like, oh, yeah, it's been a long time since I've played Skyrim, and I'm kind of curious what the Special Edition looks like, you know? Because if you are a Skyrim owner, then you get the Enhanced Edition or the Special Edition for free on Steam. You know, it just shows up in your library. So I ended up downloading that and just giving it a whirl. And so there is a Sunday afternoon about a week ago where that happens, where I'm like, I want to see if this game looks any better than, say, if I just took plain old vanilla Skyrim and just modded the shit out of it. And it doesn't really look better than that, but there are plenty of mods for the Special Edition, too.
Does it run better?
Does it feel like fucking great?
Yeah, that's the real thing. The real plus out of that whole thing is getting it to where it's super stable and runs a lot better.
I do have an issue. I think it's with one of the mods that I'm running. I think there's a bit of a memory leak in one of those mods, because I found that after a short 3.5 hours of play, that I needed to restart it, and then everything was fine. But
that's a problem to have.
Yeah, yeah. So I have kind of fallen in love with Skyrim all over again, and have been playing through that Special Edition. I've probably sunk about 5 hours into it at this point, and I actually am really looking forward to diving back in, because, like I said, I ended up taking the Special Edition, which already looks and plays better than the original, and then applying all the updated mods, which are tailored for the Special Edition, to that. And I'm running 11 or 12 mods on the game at this point. Nice. And it looks so good. It looks like a modern game. Really good-looking modern game.
So I see on the Steam page they have the high resolution texture pack available. Is that the updated version, or is that something different?
It will actually appear in your library as Elder Scroll. Hold on, let me find it. Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim Special Edition is how it will read.
I don't think I get it, because I don't own all of the DLC for that game.
Oh, well, fuck you.
Yeah.
So
that's a not on sale. That is a $45 outlay to get all that DLC.
Yeah, I mean,
when the shit's on sale,
right?
I'll just grab it and it'll be worth it.
All you got to do at this point is just catch that DLC on a bargain, and then you'll get the game automatically. But yeah, it looks great, and I have found myself enjoying kind of wandering around in that world to be incredibly satisfying. Like, you know, as much time as I've sunk into it recently, in the relative to Skyrim, that's not a lot of time, but given the fact that sometimes time can be limited.
So what are you doing in your game right now? Like, give me a Tales from Skyrim.
Okay, here's where I am currently. I have been fucking around in, White Run, which is kind of the first big town in the game. And I'm working my way through all the side missions from Winter Run. I am currently, in the process of ferreting out some Alakir assassins.
Hmm.
Who are on the hunt for a Red Guard lady who says that she is being hunted by these guys because they want to sacrifice her for something. She's a little hazy on details, And then when you show up in this cave, the Alakir assassins, of course, tell you, oh, no, she's a spy. The reason we're looking for her is because she betrayed, you know, our town, our fiefdom or whatever. And it would be great if you would just let us know where she is so we can go fucking murder her. And that's, you know, one of the great things about Skyrim, much like Witcher 3 or something like that, is there's a lot of storylines that resolve themselves in not necessarily black and white ways. So I actually played that mission this morning, or that quest line this morning, and I need to replay it because I got my my follower killed in the process, so I'm going to cheese that a little bit and roll it back.
Yeah, safe scum that shit.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, why not? Make it enjoyable.
I'm not above it. So I need to make sure that she doesn't get all murdered this time. But and I think I might actually turn this woman over the next time I play it. But yeah, I've just had a great time kind of wandering through the environment, you know, like doing Skyrim shit, running into stuff, finding a house in the middle of nowhere that happens to have a bear wandering around inside it and shit. That kind of stuff. So
that happened to me with a witch. It was the first time I encountered a witch in the game, and it scared the shit out of me. Like I totally wasn't prepared for like her combat style.
Yeah. Yeah. It you know, it just is one of the great video games, I think. And when you can get it running well and looking as good as it does, when I fire it up on the, GameStation 5000 TM, man, it looks beautiful. It's super fun to play. It's oddly relaxing to me, in a way that I kind of needed. And, I'm really looking forward to spending more time with it. You know, the hot new game, Skyrim.
It was selected, the Steam Awards, the user awarded awards gave Skyrim the Test of Time Award for 2016.
Yeah, that you know, I would certainly vouch for that. It has kind of recaptured my imagination, and it's funny because in an email chain this week, listeners may or may not be surprised to hear that Dragon Age Inquisition came up as a topic of conversation, and playing through Skyrim just makes me hate that game more. Because, like, Skyrim is as long, if not longer, than Dragon Age Inquisition, but everything just feels so much more meaningful.
Yeah.
All the side missions and stuff are, you know, kind of crafted experience as opposed to, hey, go close another rift. You know how this is going to go.
Yeah.
The hot Shotcast game of the week, brand new off the presses, Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim. Get it while it's hot, folks.
You can get a free high resolution texture pack download.
Act
for it.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no, like on Steam, it's free. You can also, they just released one for Fallout 4 as well. They released it.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah. And even in kind of vanilla Skyrim, even if you don't have the special edition stuff, head over to Nexus Mod Manager. Find yourself, I mean, you're going to be able to load up some...
That's where all the good mods live.
It really is. The one thing that the special edition doesn't have, for folks who have been yelling at their podcast device, saying, what about the Sky UI mod? I'm sorry, folks. The Sky UI mod is not available in the special edition, which is a real bummer. Like all the texture stuff, and I've got like a lot of character mods. There's a special edition mod that unlocks some stuff that was in the original game but was never like unlocked on the disc or in the game files. So it's just some quest lines that just happen to be there that I've probably never seen.
I need a co-op mod for Skyrim. Could you?
There is one.
There's
a multiplayer mod.
Oh, yeah. I saw that a long time ago, but I don't know if I had never heard if they ever got it working right.
I'm pretty sure they still develop it. Yeah. I know one of the last times I checked in on it, they had where all the enemies and stuff were synced up, so you could actually, used to be like you could get in, but you would each see your own individual enemies. Hmm. So you couldn't actually help each other.
Uh-huh.
It's just like you could see each other.
That's not what you want in that.
Yeah, yeah, it's right. Weird. Yeah. It's like you're playing into alternate intersecting universes
like
or
if,
something.
If it's a memory issue, like if they just could rubber band you to within a certain distance from each other, I'd be fine with that. I mean,
but I think the game you're talking about is The Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah, but it's just not as good as Skyrim for some reason. Like, I don't
understand
right. How.
Yeah, well, because Skyrim is not trying to be that game that's like, oh, here's a bunch of goddamn fetch quests. And there's a fair amount of that in Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah, I mean, they literally could just make, I mean, the logistics of it are crazy because now it's not just one person completing these missions, it's two. And do you give them both loot or do you write like a co-op storyline where you are two distinct different characters? Or like Sniper Elite 4, it's all of a sudden that there's just two snipers in the game. The game itself doesn't behave differently at all. So they could just do that in Skyrim because there's plenty of fucking loot.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, I totally agree. It would be amazing. But all that said,
someday.
Yeah, some far off land. You know, I would not be surprised if the next time they roll one of these games out, that weren't a feature.
Little Skyrim 5 4-player co-op.
Oh, shit. You know, I think the problem with that, though, is because the game is so vast and there's so many man hours involved in completing a game like that. Like, yeah. How do you do level matching with a game
or
like that?
Keep track of who has done which quests.
Right. And,
yeah.
I mean, can you imagine what the hex code on that would look like of... You know, here are all the things that this person did as opposed to what this person did. And, you know,
it has to just be a host issue. Like the host game is what we're playing. And if you have completed this mission before, it's just here again and you'll get some XP for it. And like there's games that kind of address that, like even Wildlands was doing that, where when we were replaying missions, the crates that had, you know, the reward gun in it had nothing in it when I played it the second time. But for you guys who are playing it for the first time, it had the gun in it, you know? So they can just do that.
Yeah.
Like, I believe it's totally possible. I'm kind of with you, though. If they're doing that for Skyrim, they're saving it for Skyrim 5.
Or Elder Scrolls 6.
Elder Scrolls 5. Yeah, 7, 11,
well,
14. What is it?
Skyrim
was
five. Yeah.
That's right.
So, what are they calling it? Morrowrim, the rebuild of Morrowind using the Skyrim engine they're saying is pretty close to complete.
Nice.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I'll tell you another thing that God bless the modders of the world, man. Like the amount of people that have just inserted entirely new quest lines of their own making that you can just mod into the game.
There's like the one where, because this came out right around the same time as Portal 2, somebody modded in the Wheatley robot. One of the cores from Portal falls out of the sky in Skyrim. Like it comes down like a meteor and that begins a quest line and you go do some kind of Portal related. I mean, some of that shit's amazing. Like there's just huge... There's like a total conversion mod for Skyrim, isn't there? I swear I read something.
I'm sure there are for a number of you know, various things that you can.
And that's nuts. Like modders work on that shit for like 4 years.
I'm pretty sure there's a mod that adds in Morrowind as a playable area as well. Like it stitches together the map of the whole game area or the game area of the story. The like overarching story.
That shit is so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the workshop on this is nuts. Just the different categories. There's 5,230 armor mods. Castles and large structures, 308 mods you can load. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, 7,363 gameplay mods.
And, you know, some of that, like, one of the mods I have just improves the smithing a little bit so that it's less
boring, yeah.
Well, it's less tailored towards just building bigger and heavier armor, and it's a little more fine-tuned towards... Because when I play generally a little sneaky, you know? I like ranged, like a good bow and a couple of knives.
Oh, yeah.
And my character I still have the save for is like really, really good at magic. I love shooting lightning and fire out of my hands, but also have a really good bow and arrow. Love it.
And there is something really satisfying in Skyrim about pulling off those stealth kills when you're when you just fire an arrow into someone's face when you're hidden.
And then when you go up to the corpse, there's just an arrow sticking out of their head.
Oh, and again, because of all the mods to clean that up, there has been a couple of times, I need to start screenshotting this a bit more, where there'll just be a room of three or four dead folk laying on the floor with arrows sticking out of their heads. That is pretty satisfying, you know. It makes me feel like a man, which is not a sensation I get very often. So, yeah, man. Skyrim. And it's funny because Power Listener Andy, I don't know that he's ever played Skyrim, but I've been kind of talking it up lately because I've been
Right up his alley.
I know. And he was like, man, I think I need to come over and see how that looks on a good machine. And
you'll never get him to leave.
You know, there are ways.
You could load up the sexy Lydia mod.
I did load the NPC mod that kind of reskins some of them so that it's just better quality textures, but I don't get so creepy.
Did you get the clean faces mod? I always thought that one was really funny.
No. I leave them all dirty, you know. Yeah. Skyrim's a filthy world. You know, it's...
Some people just don't want mud on characters' faces, so there's a mod that just removes it.
Awesome. Oh, I'm sorry. Skyblivion. Is the mod that's coming. Is Oblivion remade in Skyrim. Although I think there's a Morrowrim or Skywind or whatever they're calling it is going to be the Morrowind. But yeah, I mean, it's just that game continues to be a source of enjoyment. Yeah, so Skyrim, my hot game of the week. Get it while you can. Supplies are limited. But yeah, I mean, it is a game that you can probably pick that up on, you know, a Steam sale or GOG for like $6 at this point.
Oh, yeah. I believe they've sold it for $5.99 before.
Yeah. And I mean,
it's $19.99 right now. If you buy the bundle, let's see. Yeah, they've got a bundle with all downloadable content, $27.42.
I mean, that's crazy. For under $30, you're getting a tremendous amount of gameplay. And plus, on the PC, you mod the shit out of it. You could, like, that truly is a game that you could never stop playing if you wanted.
I love this infomercial we're doing. You get hundreds of hours of content. And wait, go to the workshop, thousands of hours more.
What would you pay for a game like this?
For something so magnificent, $129.99.
I would pay $5 million
for from this the fake game. Church that brought you Sundrop,
right?
Skyrim.
Yeah. So it's great, and hopefully I will get Power Listener Andy by at some point because now that I've got it all gussied up with the mods and all, it does look fucking nice.
Can you play that game in VR?
You can use Vorpix to do that, and it's okay.
What is it about it that doesn't work?
It's not made for VR.
It's partly that, and also when I'm in VR, I want to play with the controller, not mouse and keyboard. And because Vorpix has built-in controller support for some of its menus...
That's weird.
Trying to do stuff on the controller, and I just never got to the point where I figured out how to disable all that stuff. But like, I'll be trying to crouch, and instead of crouch, I bring up the Vorpix menu, you know, and that is
ruins it.
Yeah, it turns out that's not great. But I ought to give that another go just to see, because when it did work and when it was working well enough, it's pretty cool. Nice. But yeah, you would hope at some point that, you know, assuming things continue to improve for the world of virtual reality, I would love to see one day a Fallout or a Skyrim.
Well, Fallout's coming. Fallout VR is coming.
Yeah, that's right. Sure enough, yeah. So,
as long as that does well, you know.
You know.
You know.
You know.
You just know.
You know.
You heard it here first, but you know.
You know.
You know.
All right, guys, let's take a quick break here and come back with some news. What do you say?
Sounds good.
All right. Cool. We'll be right back. So, in the interest of continuing to pimp stuff, in addition to our, you know, Father, Son, Drop, and Holy Ghost line of products, so I am a subscriber to the Humble Monthly Bundle. And one thing that by the way, the bundle this month had both Abzu, which I've been wanting to play.
Nice. Yeah, I played that.
And also SteamWorld Heist, which I've been wanting to play. And, you know, a few other games as well that I wasn't as familiar with. But, you know, it's always nice when you get a handful of games. Oh, it also included XCOM 2 was the big game. And I'm not doing it to just garner thanks, although you're not wrong to thank me.
Oh, this is a really cool. It's a cool thing.
Yeah, it really is. So the way that the Humble Monthly Bundle handles this is, if you already have the game, they have a link right on the game page that tells you what's available for download that month, that says, like, hey, do you want to gift this to somebody? Like, you are entitled to a Steam key. If you don't want it or can't use it, here's a quick button. You hit this, it generates a link. And then I send it over to Justin and take it from there. I mean, was there any difficulty in redeeming that?
Absolutely not. Very similar to like a Green Man Gaming or something, where you say, hey, here's my email. It shoots you the email with the little code. You just hop on a Steam, activate a game, pop that code in, you're done. Like, it was painless.
Yeah.
They've really nailed that whole, as long as you're making the game and you're using the Steam keys and stuff, I think that whole process is like so easy to do now, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, it was super easy, but I thought that the fact that they built that in,
oh yeah,
is so smart and so considerate.
They could have just said, well, whatever, you know, like, you already have that game,
right? You know, I mean, yeah, it could just be a wasted, you know, part of your bundle that month. But yeah, it I thought it was just the best. I was so happy that that was actually a thing. So yeah, the monthly Humble Bundle, and also that Freedom Bundle that they've got now, that's like $30 for God, just, I mean,
an ass load of games in that thing at this point.
Yeah, I mean, an incredible amount of games, and it's not just a bunch of like indie stuff that you would, you know, never play or would never get on your own and stuff. It's, you know, The Witness, and that was the big one that stuck out to me. I mean, there are like four or five like big games in there.
The Witness, Stardew Valley, Day of the Tentacle, Overgrowth, Nuclear Throne, Octodad, Invisible Ink, Super Meat Boy, World of Goo, Stanley Parable, Super Hexagon. There's a bunch of books in there. Oh, The Swapper. That's a good game.
Yeah.
Rockets, 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 30 Flights of Loving.
Worth it for Rockets, 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 honestly. Like, that's so good.
Yeah. There's a ton of, tons of games I've heard of, tons of indie games that I've just kind of seen and never, like, I don't know anything about them. Subnautica.
Yeah, that's supposed to be a good one.
And actually, that's a good VR game as well.
Yeah, that's what I've heard as well.
The original System Shock and System Shock 2 are in there.
There's a ton of games in here.
Yeah, and as well as some comics and books and all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's really pretty impressive.
Like, you want to just start yourself a game collection. It's a $30 way to get, like, 50 games.
Yeah, yeah. Man. So, well done, humble folks.
And everything comes with, like, a Steam key if you want it to.
Yeah, and the stuff that doesn't include a Steam key is just... like direct downloads.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, just really amazing.
Expire. I might be done before this airs. 3 days left.
Oh, well.
Sorry.
Never mind. If you got it. Well, we posted up on the Facebook page and stuff too.
Yeah, so, we did. Yeah. You know. Then if you're not looking at the Facebook page, that's not our fault.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we keep telling
you. We try. We fucking try every goddamn show.
Yeah.
And if you're not going there, I can't help you.
Right. Sorry. Every now and again, you're going to get some shit that you need to know. And
let this be the lesson that we all learn.
Right. You know, let it never happen again. That's what we're getting at.
Like, how are you going to know when Sundrops go on sale?
Right.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you know, that's a little bit of love for the Humble Bundle folks and the good work that they do, and all of course that Freedom Bundle all goes to like Doctors Without Borders and the ACLU and stuff like that. So you know, if you have something against, I don't know, civil freedom. Liberties and freedom,
yeah, if you hate freedom, don't buy it.
Right But yeah, so that's all the pimping I gotta do. Here's the problem that we are faced with in today's culture, John.
Mm.
So much of the news is fake. So much.
This is true.
And
yeah, because it's news. I mean, the news is fake news.
Yeah, it's all fake news, except for the news I get from one John Dolan. So let's hear it.
I've got one story that's kind of fake tonight, so it's the second one we'll get to, but I don't know. I don't know if it's newsworthy. I hesitated even putting it on the list. We'll start off with Valve is getting rid of Steam Greenlight, which is the... Yeah, I'm going to kind of miss it. I thought it was an interesting way to do that.
It's just, I think the replacement's a little weird. Yeah, I kind of feel there's some criticisms of, well, now you have to pay X amount of money just to get in.
Yeah.
I feel like there was some kind of happy medium between, well, you just have to get X number of people to, like, vote for your thing, which can be gamed fairly easily.
Yeah.
There's some happy medium between, well, now you just have to pay money, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, they're trying, this is what I like about Steam, is because they don't really have to answer to anybody, Valve doesn't have to answer to anybody, they can just kind of try stuff. And we've seen from them in the past, when shit doesn't work, they stop doing it. Like, they went to the paid mods for Skyrim, and everybody freaked out, so they just turned it off, like, 10 days later. But this, Greenlight was cool because it was, you submit your game that you've made, and you put it on Steam Greenlight, and then people would vote, and then there was, like, a voting threshold. And then if you pass the voting threshold, then your game would when you were done with it, it would eventually get released on to Steam proper. And what they're changing it to now is just a straight up entry fee. But they're saying that that is recoupable. So they haven't identified what it is yet. Like, they've had estimates from $100 to $5,000. So I'm assuming it's going to be somewhere in there. Like, I bet they're going to make it sting a little bit to publish a game. Like, I'm thinking it's probably going to be like 1500, 2 grand, somewhere in there. And I think that's a good price point, because if you're not willing to throw $1,000 away on something you've been working on for a really long time, the chances of people wanting to play it is probably pretty low. Like, if you don't think highly enough of your game to pay that entry fee, no one else is going to think it's good either.
Yeah, I see they're sort of trying to curb the influx of just crap.
And that's the big problem that everybody complains about for Steam Greenlight, is there's just a deluge of shit on Steam. There's just tons of crap.
But I also know a guy who paid for a 3-song record, sold 12 copies, and like thinks he did a really great job. and should continue making music.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, so you know, are you taking inspiration away from people by putting up that barrier? That's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, it's weird.
That's what happens. Yeah, it's hard.
There are also plenty of other ways to get your video game out there for people. Certainly Steam is a big one, but
itch.io is a great place to put your video game because they put everything up.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what it is, and it's basically like Reddit for video games. People vote, and if yours gets enough votes, it goes up to the top. And that does that mean some good games slip through occasionally and don't get, you know, voted to the front page or whatever? Yes. But it's an interesting website to go to because you can just dig around and try out weird shit. So
yeah, it's a very cool website.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I see both sides of this. Like, there's tons of these kind of things that Valve does where I'm not necessarily fully on board, but I understand why they're doing it the way they are. Like, I don't think they're trying to fuck anybody here. They're just trying to figure out a better way to do it, which is essentially what Valve always does with Steam. Like, it's a great system. It is so different from what it started out as, because they just kind of keep adding different facets to it. But essentially, it's still just a place to get games. So I get why they're getting rid of Greenlight, because it has become hard to do like that main thing. It's hard to find games because there's just so many of them. Like, I'm sure there's some really cool shit out there that we will never know about just because it was buried in, you know, 50 other games that got released that day. That's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, there's some real garbage in the mix there. But I don't know. I'm of two minds because of the point that you made that there could be some good stuff that is potentially lost in the mix, or just never makes its way to Steam because of the cost barrier or whatever. You know, for those like 1- and 2-person teams that are just doing it literally for the love of the game kind of thing. So that's kind of a bummer, but you know, if it weeds out all the garbage.
If they put a fee in there though, like if it costs $2,000 to put a game on Steam, people will start crowdfunding that fee. Like, they'll go to Kickstarter and say, I need $2,000 so that I can put this game, here's a video of it, on Steam. Like, so there's another avenue to do that. Like, and if you pay to help me get to this $2,000, I'll give you a free copy of the game or something. I don't know.
Right, right. Something.
Like, combining those two things. So you're essentially just kind of gaming the system again, because the barrier to entry is essentially what it was with Greenlight. Like, give me money or votes so that I can get this game on Steam. So it's a hard problem to solve. Like, I don't think this is going to solve it, but I don't know what else they're supposed to do.
Right. It doesn't solve the problem, but what it does is it makes it so that Steam isn't directly responsible for solving the problem.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, and that's kind of an interesting thing that they do sometimes. It's like, let's let the people figure this out.
Yeah, and I kind of like that to a degree.
Yeah.
Because really, like, I mean, they can't go through everything.
No, it's impossible.
They can't. They just can't. And there's not, I mean, you could increase vote numbers, but that really just doesn't solve the problem because you're going to end up, someone's going to find a way around that.
But that shit just gets brigaded. Like, you can get, you know, people to come in and vote. You can fucking pay people
for that. Yeah, exactly. If you're paying people to do that, you can just pay them money directly.
Pay them the fee.
Game on Steam. Yeah.
Yep. And then, I like that aspect of it though, because so it defeats that. And then you can recoup the cost of that game. So if the entry fee is $2,000 and your game sells $2,000 worth of games, Steam will give you that entry fee back. I don't know how you make that more fair.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. So. I mean, you're right. I mean, but it is tricky because you don't want those, you know, diamonds in the rough, for lack of a better term, to get lost. But I guess, I don't know, maybe that's where itch.io comes in, I suppose.
Yeah. So, and that was kind of one of the points of this article that I read too, was maybe what this does is it makes more sites like itch.io pop up. Like, maybe there's a middle ground that is not fully fleshed out because Steam had green light. So now that it goes away, maybe there will be some alternative places to go find stuff. And maybe like games will group together on these sites or something like that. So if you want to get something that's, I don't know, you won't necessarily go to Itch. You'll go somewhere else because that place has this kind of weird shit. So who knows? Video games. I like the fact that there's so many goddamn video games available that we just literally can't see them all. Like, that's a good place to be. Could be way worse.
Yeah.
There could be one video game, and it could be Dragon Age Inquisition. And that's the only game that you can play. That's the only game anybody can play.
Dragon Age Inquisition won the video game wars.
Yeah.
Going back to our talk about apocalyptic futures.
I mean, that would be the end of video games.
Yeah.
I mean, people would just, they would play it for a little bit and realize, like, this game is wasting my time.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Just getting in one more shot before we move on. Dragon Age. Steam is also building some VR games. They say they are building 3 VR games, let me find the... They refer to them as 3, quote, full VR games. They are not experiences, was the language that Gabe Newell used to describe them. They are VR games. And that is about all we know about it.
One will be a Portal game.
Oh, it has to be.
Probably.
It has to be. That game's perfect.
One will be some sort of a port of Team Fortress 2, I imagine. Like a specific VR version of that. They're going to try and do something competitive, I think.
Yeah, there's a quote here that kind of addresses that. It's VR is not going to be a success at all if people are just taking existing content and putting it into a VR space. One of the first things we did is we got Half-Life 2 and Team Fortress running in VR, and it was kind of a novelty. That was purely a developer milestone, but there was absolutely nothing compelling about it. The same way nobody's going to buy a VR system so they can watch movies.
But I feel like there's a market for a, you don't just take that game and put it in VR, but you fundamentally develop a game for VR using that style and those characters. And they have a base of characters and things they could pull from. I mean, I get they could completely do new things. I mean, the lab itself is full of awesome things they could expand on. I would love to see an entire bow and arrow game that's fleshed out in a very Valve kind of way. That would be hilarious, and it would be amazing. I could only imagine.
Yeah. So there's not a lot. They came out and said that one of the other things that I saw from that story was, where is it? He referred to. We're actually going to go from this weird position where VR right now is kind of low res to being in a place where VR is actually higher res than just about anything else, with much higher refresh rates than you're going to see on desktops or phones. You'll actually see the VR industry sort of leapfrogging pretty much any other display technology in terms of those characteristics. It's probably not obvious from the first generation of products, but you'll start to see that happening in 2018, 2019. So some futurism from Gavin.
That is the only thing to me that is holding back the current iteration of VR headsets is the pixels. Once you can get rid of that and everything is, you know, is up to and beyond what I can see on like a regular computer screen.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm never leaving.
It's inevitable.
It's over.
Yeah.
I'm in the Matrix.
I think we all are, really.
Finally, you can start playing Second Life.
obviously this is good news. I think Resident Evil 7 is maybe the first big VR game to kind of come out. I mean, even though it's not on Rift and Vive, but I mean, that feels like an honest to goodness game. That is cover to cover what a VR game ought to be, I think. Except for how scary it is. Because I don't know if I pointed this out to you guys, but it's scary.
Did you watch that? did you watch that episode of Black Mirror yet?
I haven't yet because I'm already terrified and I don't need more of that.
So good. It's so good. Do you guys want to do this next story?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay.
This is PDP.
P-Pom. Yeah. Yep. So this, I put this under the category, someone is making an early run this year for the Shoddy, which for new listeners of the show, that is an award we give out once a year for the thing that we most enjoyed watching go down in flames in the truest sense of Schadenfreude. And I've explored a few different angles on this story. So PewDiePie, anybody who's not familiar with him, just go Google it.
He's the single largest YouTube celebrity that has existed.
Ever.
Ever.
Yeah. 53 million followers on YouTube. When he posts a video, he makes, you know, tens of thousands of dollars for whatever he puts out there, basically, because people just watch it. He was recently dumped by Disney. They were producing a show that was separate from his YouTube network. He was doing a, like, go to a studio and actually film a real show that has, like, a crew and everything. And they canceled that. Oh, that was the YouTube show that he was doing. I forget what.
Yeah, Disney's it was like an official YouTube show, I think.
Yeah, what when was Disney's throwing connection to him? I can't remember.
I don't know.
I don't even. He was doing something with Disney, so they've distanced themselves from PewDiePie, and YouTube has dropped the show that they were producing because of a series of videos that he made that had basically what was referred to as anti-Semitic imagery and jokes in them. There were things. So the big one that kind of, I think, set all this off was there is a service called Fiverr.
Yep.
Where you can pay somebody $5 to do something for you.
Just about anything.
And so as what he said, what's the guy's name? Felix? I forget how you pronounce his
name. Yeah, I don't know. It's not even worth it. Not even worth trying.
He decided to pay someone on Fiverr to hold up a sign that said, "Kill all Jews." Is that what it was?
Yeah. Something like that. But there is also, yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, it's not like he put an ad that said that. It's there. You go to this website and there's just like, "I'll write anything on a billboard and hold it up for $5. You know, like,
so
that person is
sitting
there. So
his idea was to see if they would do it. This is what he says. This is him defending himself. He says, "I was just curious how far they would go. And I thought my audience might find that interesting and or funny." So there was a video of him watching these guys holding up a sign that said, "Kill all Jews." So that gets compounded by the fact that he also had recently, like in a series of videos, like within the last 9 months or so, I think it was, had Nazi imagery several times. He dressed up in like a Nazi soldier uniform, and his theory on this is, or his explanation for it was, that he was commenting on media and how they just are in it for the story and they don't treat people well and they do whatever they want, and media can, and it's basically mainstream media is terrible is his whole
yeah I mean he's basically saying that mainstream media doesn't really report, they report what they want the outcome of the story to be, but they also, people don't read past the headlines, so they'll put a, you know, the headline of that video that he put up was, "I'm a racist."
Yeah.
And he's basically saying that, you know, people, that is the headline that you would see these news articles put in, and then he, like, cuts to him, like, in Nazi gear, like, watching a Hitler speech, and he's like, "This is what they would have you think I am being like," which is just in bad taste.
So, he had a response video. I don't know if either of you watched that.
No.
So I watched the whole thing. It's like 7 minutes long. And essentially, it's him accusing the media of selectively editing his clips and taking things from him, like where he's in the Nazi uniform and he's looking at the guys holding up the "Kill All Jews" sign. And he's saying that media only took those parts of my videos, played them out of context, and said that I was being anti-Semitic. And his argument is, if you watch the videos, I'm making a joke. So essentially he's using the "it's just a joke, bro" defense, which I think is stupid.
Yeah.
But
the other side of that is that he's obviously not a Nazi.
He's not, but he's making, you know, jokes in poor taste. So you get into a couple of arguments. Can you say anything to be funny? Like, do you prescribe to the George Carlin, you know, school of comedy where you could just say whatever? But he did it with like a thoughtfulness and a craft to it. Like when he said something that was intended to offend you, like he had worked on that shit for a while to like maximize the power behind it. And there was always, it wasn't just, I'm going to do some stupid prank. He was making a point with that joke that was offensive. And this is, I paid two guys, $5 to hold up the sign to see if they would do it.
And yeah, so, I mean, just that's like, you know, that's like committing a crime and just, you know, why'd you steal that car? Because it was there. And it's just stupid.
So there was a comment on one of these stories. It was on Kotaku, and I believe the title, YouTube cancels PewDiePie's show, removes him from premium advertising. One of the comments underneath that story had just one line in it that I thought was kind of funny. I'll just read the beginning of it here. Those who are decrying PewDiePie's Nazi humor are not without a sense of humor themselves. Humor requires context and references to the producers, South Park, and similar bits of satirical humor that have referenced the Third Reich at certain points miss a key point. Those films, shows, texts, etc. place their Nazi references within a given context that created a humorous situation, often through mockery. Offering a couple of economically disadvantaged guys $5 to hold up an anti-Semitic sign and then going, lol, these economically disadvantaged people will do anything for a fiver, isn't that shit hilarious? Is more the same thing as tossing loose change at a homeless person just to watch them pick it up. It's mean-spirited, it's small-minded, and threading the anti-Semitic reference into the act, PewDiePie was not creating a humorous situation. He was abusing his wealth for the sake of making someone else look ridiculous and using hate speech in order to do it. So, in short, the context of his, quote, joke was rich asshole takes advantage of economic fragility of others to get his jollies, makes anti-Semitic remarks as part of his lol, poor people are poor bullshit. I think that's...
I agree with most of that.
Yeah, it's an extremely harsh take on that, but I don't disagree with...
I wouldn't say rich guy. I would say guy who happened to have an extra $5.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, the whole... I don't like that it's played up like this guy's so rich and he's just, you know. But
well,
yeah,
I don't care
it's just a horror. It's just a stupid joke. And if you worked for any kind of company and you were a media kind of figure and you did something like this, they're going to be like, sorry, bro. You signed something that said you weren't going to do crap like this.
The thing that bothers me about it is he's complaining that the media is selectively editing and, you know, misrepresenting him, and yet he doesn't understand why people are pissed off about this.
Right.
Because
would
you do this at work? No. Like, ooh, your point exactly. You would never say something like this at work. Would you say this? There's situations where, despite your beliefs, most people have the self-control that when they fucking go out to Wendy's for dinner, they don't just start screaming a bunch of racist shit because it's like nobody wants to hear it, and why fucking ruin everybody's night with that crap? But then you go on your channel.
So many other things you can make fun of, and you can make a YouTube video about, and so many other examples you could probably have used to try and bring the media down.
Like, you have to question his motives because he has 53 million followers. Why did you choose that for your joke?
Clickbait, dog. I'm a racist.
Yeah, and that's what he's complaining about. He's complaining about clickbait, and yet he's making clickbait.
Yeah.
That's
look, I'm all on board on the, if you're a YouTuber, you really don't have much to complain about other than if, like, you know, somehow YouTube's changing their algorithm and you're getting paid, you know, nothing for your videos now. But, you know, you basically have to sit there and go, yeah, it's a job. Even your dream job is a job that you're going to have to work hard at. But it's a lot better than, like, the 99.9% of the crap you could have been doing. And if you probably take 30 seconds and go, man, if I hadn't started making videos on the internet, what would I be doing? You probably start appreciating things a little bit more and don't have to resort to making jokes about Nazis to get views. You know, maybe just make something uplifting or something like that.
I mean, and how many times has this exact thing gone badly for someone? Like, what the guy who played Kramer on Seinfeld, Michael Richards, like, made a mistake and said some racist ass shit at a show, and he went on the air and apologized for it, and he said, I got frustrated and what I did was wrong. So in this video that PewDiePie posted, he apologizes in the video. He says, I understand now that, you know, this, you know, may not have been appropriate. And the thing that kills me is the videos are gone. He took them down. So if it truly was just a joke, bro, he would have left them up. Like, you
did he delete them?
He took them down.
Or did YouTube take them down?
I think he took them down. Like, I don't think.
Do you think
YouTube
was like,
I don't know,
we're ditching you, and you better take those videos down?
I don't know. Yeah, I actually don't know what the circumstances are for that. But if he took them down, well, then that's admitting that you crossed the line.
Yeah.
But then when you do your apology video, you're not really apologizing. You're like, oh, I'm sorry people were offended by this. Well, yeah. Okay. That's like the standing up next to you. You're the politician who's standing there with your wife while you admit to having sex with another woman. Like, why did you bring your wife to this? This is humiliating for her. Why are you doing this?
Right. Well, it's just all the politician history of, like, putting your wife behind you when you deny the affair that you had.
Yeah. Why? To humiliate her more? You're awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Kills me. Every time that happens, it kills me. So this, I mean, it's just, and like, bottom line of this is, who fucking cares what PewDiePie does on...
Right.
Like, who fucking cares what anybody does? Like, I don't give a shit what Wolf Blitzer says on the fucking news, and I don't care what happened on the latest episode of The Bachelorette. Like, it's all the same kind of...
alternative reality.
Yeah, I mean, it's entertainment. It's all entertainment. So, some people... And so the most disheartening part of this for me was the response video that he posted. I found it on Reddit, and I started, and I made the mistake of reading through the comments on the Reddit thread for his apology, quote unquote, video. And there were mostly supportive comments of him that then, when they weren't just being supportive, they were mainstream media, this and that, and blah, blah, blah. And it's all their fault, and he didn't do anything. And boy, does he have class to come out and make this video. And I really like his attitude. And it was just tons of PewDiePie supporters.
And yeah, I think a lot of people who are, like, you know, his diehard fans think that it's, are kind of nuts. Almost like a conspiracy theory kind of people, where it's like, well, he made this video where he was talking about how the media is, you know, like this and that, and then there, this is a hit piece. It's almost like an Alex Jones thing, where it's like, when they're just coming after him now, you know, and they're just,
and that's what they're saying.
Up.
That's what these comments were like. That's absolutely what it was. And it's just like, this guy plays video games,
makes
videos about it, and then now he's, like, branched out into, you know, all this other stuff. Like, his, apparently, like, his most popular videos are no longer his video game stuff. It's all, like, you've turned yourself into kind of an organization. Like, talk about selling some fucking Sun Drop. You got 53 million followers, dude.
Exactly. People are brands these days. It's weird.
Yep.
I mean, his videos are like him sitting in a box. Well, it's basically, it's four, if you look at it, it's those, like, ISO walls that you can just move around, is what it looks like. Yep. That he's just, like, spray painted. I mean, it's just, like, the most boring thing to just, I mean, you don't even see him playing video games in half the videos. Like you said, it's like, I don't just want to watch this guy just staring at the camera.
But he's the guy that became popular. He's famous because he's famous.
No.
It's that thing. Like, I think PewDiePie actually delivers a lot more useful content than somebody like the fucking Kardashians or something like that, where they literally are just famous because they're famous. Like, he's at least making something, but it's essentially the same thing. Like, there's no reason that the person who we are talking about right now couldn't be a totally different person if just a couple of circumstances had been slightly different. Like, this guy, he obviously works hard. He you know, like you said earlier, he's doing a job. It's his dream job, yeah. but he's getting to do a job. And he works hard at it. He produces a lot of content, but it's in the end, it's still just kind of, I don't know, masturbation, essentially.
Right. I mean, you know, if I've learned anything in life is that there is, you know, like, yes, there, yeah, you could have a dream job, but no matter what, at the end of the day, a job is a job. And sometimes it sucks. And sometimes it's cool. And sometimes it's, you know, this way and it's that way. So it's like, you know, there's a million perks to doing what he does, but there are probably just as many, you know, cons to doing what he does. You know, whereas we have a completely different set of things for us. So it's, you know, you kind of, everything's relative kind of crap, but, you know, to the average person, it certainly seems like he's got it pretty good, you know?
Yeah. But, and then to make the decision then to tell these kind of jokes, knowing that you have the following that you do, and like to be, even if they were taken out of context, like, why go down that road in the first place?
Right.
You're asking for trouble.
Just make jokes about Genghis Khan. He killed a quarter of the people on the planet.
Yeah.
Just make them all Genghis Khan jokes. Yeah. Nobody cares about that.
I was being ironic, bro. It's just a joke, man. It's a prank, dude. God, relax. I don't know. It's hard to enjoy the schadenfreude on this one.
It just seems it is. So, like, foolish and mean-spirited, you know?
Yeah, and that's the whole point. That's why I thought that comment was really good. It's just like, you can say this is a joke all day long, but the reason that you think it's funny is because it's a little bit mean. And is that really funny? Like, yes, you can kid people, and, you know, you can go to a roast and say horrible shit about people, but there's, like, there's a context, that's what the guy said in that comment. There's a context and there's an expectation to it. There's, you know, you're mocking somebody at that point, and it's a friend of yours, or they're expecting it to be bad. But to just, like, I don't know. He could have done anything else. He could have done a million other things, but this is the road that he chose. And now he's trying to play it off like it's not that big a deal, when apparently it is. Like, why would Disney... Fucking Disney, who has their own problems with anti-Semitism.
Right. That was, I watched a video where someone was like, and come on, Disney. Like, for real?
I know, but they clean that shit up. Like, they're not... No. Sorry, we're not gonna sponsor the guy who's doing the hate all Jews, kill all Jews, $5 sign joke. Of course Disney's gonna fucking run away from you. Like, how did you not see that coming? It's like that. That's what it boils down to. I would not go into my job and make these kind of jokes. And he did that. And the dude works for Disney. Like, how did you not know that was going to go bad?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Peter Pie, if you're out there, if you wouldn't say it at a regular job, don't say it in front of 53 million people, please.
This one's also depressing. But for different reasons.
This one's super depressing.
So there's this guy. I don't know his first name. He just goes by Byu, B-Y-U-U, I guess. He is an amateur game archiver, and he was trying to preserve the entire Super Nintendo library. And one of the ways that he would do this is he would get people who had collections of rare Nintendo games to send them to him, and then he would dump the carts. He would, you know, download the ROMs off of them and back them up digitally. And the reason that he would do it this way from the original cartridges is there's tons of ROMs for all these games already exist out there, but they get modified. People change things about them. Or
said that Nintendo didn't even have the original game files at this point.
Yeah, so like when they did their, what's their service called? Virtual Console?
Yeah.
Yeah, so when they did their Virtual Console, there's games on there that are not the original ROMs from the cartridges that they sold. They just went, when they wanted to sell it on their Virtual Console, it was easier for them to just go out and download an illegal ROM off the internet. And, here, let's just put this one up. So he's trying to archive all of the original data off of these cartridges. So he had done this before with this guy. There's some guy in Germany who has this great collection of all these old SNES games. And he had mailed him, I believe it was 100 cartridges previously. He lent me 100 valuable games. And that went over fine, and he sent them back to the guy. But this latest group that has some like extremely rare games in it, he sent him 100 cartridges, and it was valued at about $10,000 worth of games. Got lost in the mail.
Yeah, that's horrible.
And they sent it overseas from Germany. I think this guy lives in New Jersey or something like that. It made it overseas, and then the second that the United States Postal Service put their hands on it, it disappeared.
That sounds about right.
Oh, man.
Insert USPS joke here.
I had a package from Germany and made it like all the way to the mail, the place where they dropped the mail off in my zip code. And then it was like, insufficient address. And then now I'm just watching it on its trip all the way back to Germany.
Oh.
I'm like, great. Thanks, guys.
Could you call me? Could you post something to this website I'm using to track it? That says, right. Hey, dude, call us. We don't have the right information. Could you do that instead of sending it back? No. That's
too difficult. You know, the best case scenario in this SNES story is the one person or the one entity that could swoop on in and put in some good cheer and charity with their fans would be the old Nintendo Corporation. Because you know they got all these games.
Yeah.
You know they've got a vault sitting with multiple copies of these games, you would hope.
Yeah.
At least what they've released. Maybe not an entirety of all the SNES games, but I bet they could.
I feel like we say this every show. Like, Nintendo's terrible at giving their fans what they want.
Yeah.
They're terrible at it. Sure, they do good sometimes. Like, yeah, here's the new Zelda. Here's a new Smash Brothers. Here's a whatever. But then when it comes to, can we just have all these old games that we love? We would love to play these. We will pay you for them. And they just fuck it up every time.
Yeah.
I don't know. So that's a huge bummer. Like, these things are just kind of lost. Some people started a GoFundMe page to reimburse the collector. Because this guy, he's super upset. He's like, yeah, I have to pay this guy back for his games. And if I have to do that, I can't continue this project until, you know, an undetermined amount of time. Because I need to come up with 10 grand, and I need to do it fast because the value of these games that are now missing that this guy was nice enough to send me are only increasing every single day. So, and there's one less of all of them in the world because they lost them. I mean, they still exist somewhere, I guess, but it's a bummer.
Just Schrodinger thing at this point.
Until somebody observes them, they won't exist until that moment. Oh, I forgot about this one.
Uh-oh.
Listeners of the show will know that we have a special place in our heart for the one and only assassin, John Smedley. And if you're not familiar with that name, he used to work for Sony Entertainment and got into some shit with some hackers, if I remember correctly. Where he kind of vowed to like personally hunt them down and fuck their shit up. And when you look at a picture of him, he kind of looks like he murders people for fun.
Oh, he killed him. He killed him.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why he's back. That's why he's back in video games, because he's done killing them all. What was it like? The people defiled his father's gravesite because they were pissed off at Sony. For whatever reason, but like people were like getting personal with him, calling his fucking family and shit. So anyway, he has come out of retirement. He had started a couple of studios, Daybreak. And I forget what the second one was. I thought it was in this article. Pixel Image Games, which were both founded in 2015 and were defunct by 2016. So he's been kind of missing. He's been off on an assassin run for like the last year, but he is going to be the new studio head for an Amazon game studio to work on kind of a, what did they say, an ambitious new project.
Yeah. So. That's a same game engine as Star Citizen at this point.
Yeah.
So it's going to look great.
This is the guy that like worked on EverQuest. Yeah. So like this guy knows what he's doing. He's
and
made big games, so
with what Amazon's trying to do with this game engine, which is be able to put just, you know, thousands of people into an instance, there's no way that this isn't going to be something along those lines.
Some giant MMO, yeah.
Yeah, well, because Star Citizen is the space, is they're trying to get, you know, that's the space game that's using this game engine that's going to drive sales of this game engine.
Yep.
When they start, you know, selling it or doing more stuff with it. And so you got to imagine they're like, hey, just do like Skyrim MMO or do like a EverQuest type thing. Yep. Just whatever. Just go. I mean, I don't know what who owns the rights to EverQuest or if that's even still, who's got the, you know, who owns all that. But, you know, Amazon's got the money to snatch that up, I'm sure.
Yeah, if they wanted to break that loose from whoever has it, they certainly could. So Jeff Bezos got dollars.
Got them Amazon dollars.
Yeah, like big ones.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? I'm going to buy a newspaper. And not just any newspaper. I'm going to buy the Washington Post today.
That's right.
What
I'm going to do.
That's money. That's what that is. So I was just happy that John Smedley's back in the news because of the...
murder?
The lore that surrounds him.
Yeah, I mean, it's not lore. It's fact.
Well, yeah.
These are proven items of news.
I feel like he should have a theme song like Paladin, like the old TV show Paladin, something like that. Smedley.
I would imagine that it is going to be very similar to what is it? The Touch. Who's the guy that does that? The Transformer song.
Oh, God, I don't know.
I mean, that's what's going to happen.
the Smedley anthem.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. It's just a matter of time.
Welcome back, John Smedley.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Shotcast.
Yep.
Especially
it's
after
been a while.
That PewDiePie nonsense. It's nice that we got something to even the scales, you know?
The enforcers back in town.
Right, like a total force of justice, yeah.
Yeah. Last story for the night is Stardew Valley, which I have not played. Do you have that one, Bo?
I do. I've played a fair amount of Stardew Valley.
Well, now you can get a mod for it, which makes all the bachelors in the game have a schedule to jerk off.
You know, that game has always been a little too close to reality for me. And now just more so.
Now it's just hitting the gas towards real. This guy he got into modding because he started playing Stardew Valley. Apparently he just really, really liked Stardew Valley. And he said, hey, I want to learn how to make mods. So he started making mods for this game.
He said there wasn't really too much inspiration. There's a lot of lewd mods for Bachelorette, so I thought, why not make some mods for people who like guys, a.k.a. me.
Me.
So I taught myself how to mod and made it a reality.
I want some masturbating dudes in my game, because that's what I'm into.
Hey, but you know, hey, that's the story, man. If you want something, make it. That yep. sounds like it's easy to get into modding for that game, so it's like, I mean, that's cool.
You want it done right, you gotta do it yourself.
Right?
Yeah. So... I like that. Like it's the part in the story where he says, yeah, you notice as you play through the game that there were long stretches during the day where these characters would just stand on a single tile and do nothing. So he'd like figure out where those times were and then he would schedule them for masturbation. It's fucking great.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it. We've all got that schedule. You know, I don't know that I have specific times, but
Sunday
you know.
Through Monday.
Yeah.
Three times a day.
Wow. That's
pack them in.
That's impressive at your age, sir.
Thanks. You're older than I am. The fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, I know, but I don't jerk off three times a day either.
Well, neither do I. I'm saying that's the schedule.
Oh, right. Fair enough. You build in a little bit of downtime. Yeah, I get it.
It's nice because, you know, people are like, man, you jerk off a lot. And, you know, I'm actually just like taking a nap. So
it is the best sleeping pill, you know. If you need to get to sleep on the quick, you need to masturbate.
Yeah. I mean, you got to make everybody aware of that schedule, too, because that comes in handy at work. Aren't you supposed to be masturbating right now? Oh, my God, I'm late. I got to go.
Thanks. Right. Yeah.
Just put it in your Outlook calendar. Spank it.
How would you shorthand that? Because you don't want to write out spanking it.
John time.
I think it would just be J-O.
Jerk off.
Yeah. I got a meeting with Joe for about 15 minutes. I'll be back.
Joe from accounting.
Right. Meeting. Oh, there will be an accounting.
Somebody's counting. You know, Jesus is counting every time you masturbate.
What's the only
joke? The joke where you go to heaven and Jesus greets you at the front gates and he's like, hey, man, welcome to heaven. And you're like, oh, this is great. This is beautiful. And he's like, do you want to know anything? And he's like, well, you know, can you tell me, you know, this thing about myself? Can you tell me, you know, what was the closest I ever came to like finding a treasure chest or something like that? And Jesus says, oh yeah, once when you were in Virginia Beach on that vacation, you walked 10 feet past like a treasure chest full of gold doubloons. He's like, oh, that's really interesting. And Jesus is like, hey man, you got to come back. Check this out. You think that's cool? Check this out. And he takes you in a room and there's all these clocks and they're all, you know, they're not like a normal 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. They have like hundreds of numbers around the outside and some of them are at like 5 and some are at like 50. And you're like, well, what are these clocks? And he goes, well, these clocks keep track of how many times people have masturbated. And he's like, really? Well, you know, where's my clock? And Jesus takes him over to the clock and it's like, you know, 500 or 600 times. It's like, yeah, it's respectable. Yeah, it's, yeah. I wasn't really into it. I didn't masturbate a lot, but that sounds about right. This clock's got 500 times that I jerked off. And he says, well, where's my buddy Justin's clock? Where's his clock? And he's, oh, geez, Justin's clock's right over here. It's got like 750 on it or something like that. Yeah, yeah. I never knew Justin jerked off that much. That's pretty interesting. And he says, well, where's Bo's clock? And Jesus goes, oh, it's in the back. We use it for a fan.
I'm so glad you made me the target of that. Yes. But, I mean, you're not wrong.
That's the joke.
Yeah.
It's how you cool your house, right?
Generate power. Jerking off. Elon Musk is probably working on that right now.
Oh, I'm sure.
He's crying about Neil Armstrong.
Yeah. Oh, well. That's it. That's the jerking off news.
That is the masturbatory news. Thank you, John.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, on our way out the door here, let's kick it around the table one final time and see what everyone's excited about playing in the coming couple of weeks here. Justin McFerrin, what you excited about playing?
Hoping that Ghost Recon Wildlands beta has a new area of the map. I mean, they got a huge map. Why not give us another spot? Check out. So hopefully you get to check that out when that's on like the 24th, you said?
24th through the 27th of February. Yeah. So like a week and a half, 2 weeks before it comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited for that game. Like I talked a bunch of shit about how I'm totally not pre-ordering it last time on the show, and I'm totally pre-ordering it.
Yeah, we're totally pre-ordering it.
Yeah, I'm happening. Totally getting it. Like I like that game. I like that style of game. I'm going to just buy the deluxe edition that has all the DLC and just fuck it. Do it up. It's going to be good.
Speaking of, what about you, John?
I'm going to be playing Sniper Elite 4 until that happens. And that's basically the only game I've got plans for right now. There is we didn't talk about the release schedule that we had. There is some good stuff coming up. February. Horizon Zero Dawn comes out on the 28th. I'm interested to see what that is.
Mm-hmm.
For Honor just came out. Talked about that. Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is scheduled to come out on March 3rd. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, and that's Switch Day, right?
I believe so. Like, that's super close, man. Like, I don't feel like the hype is really going on that yet. Maybe I'm just not tuned into Nintendo Radio or something. But
yeah, I don't know. And then the next week is the Star Trek VR game, right?
It got 14th. Delayed. Is that the new?
Oh, is it? It's March 14th, I think.
Okay, I thought it was on that calendar recently.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, okay. Mass Effect Andromeda, March 21st. So there's a bunch of big shit. Wildlands. What else do we got here? Persona 5, April. Sniper Ghost Warrior 3, April 4th, Justin.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to check that one out.
Yeah, so there's some big stuff coming out. Prey comes out in May, or it's scheduled to. Dirt 4, I didn't know they were making another Dirt game. I really like Dirt 3. That was a hell of a good driving game.
So, yeah, those are all right.
Yeah, a lot of stuff coming up. But yeah, for the immediate future, Sniper Elite 4, and then I'm going to get into that Wildlands beta again.
All right. Well, for myself, I will be certainly doing a little more more Skyrim, because turns out that game's pretty good. And some more Neo, faux shiz, because you know sometimes you just want a game to kick your ass around a little bit.
Did you ever play Bloodborne?
I did. I haven't played any game like this until now.
Okay. Yeah.
So it has.
I'm curious if it's more Bloodborne than Dark Souls, because Bloodborne was kind of a different thing.
Yeah, I just don't know enough about those games prior to me playing this one to be able to actually provide much of a comparison, unfortunately. But I really like this one a lot. I like I said, you know, being able to pull off a pretty quick kill on some of the lower level enemies that, you know, just because you know their patterns at a certain point. And when you can whip through two or three of those without taking any damage at all, that feels pretty good. So, yeah, I'll be playing some of that. And I don't know. I really want to try SteamWorld Heist, you know, as part of the Humble Bundle. I keep hearing good things about that. It's kind of a turn-based game in the SteamWorld universe. And every time I've seen that game, it seems real cool. And holy crap, Abzu. I need to play through that just because.
And you can do that in one shot. Like, yeah. give yourself like a 2 hour space of time and you can play the whole game. And it's best consumed as a single chunk, I think. And
yeah.
And you can go back and fiddle around with it later on. But yeah, that's a cool game. It goes places. That's the best description I've heard of Abzu, is that it goes places.
Yeah, that is something I definitely need to check out because I am such a fan of Journey. Like that game a whole lot. Memo to self, edit out the part where I started yawn. Daddy's sleepy.
Just put in a sun drop hit right there. Sun drop!
Right. Yeah. I most certainly will. Folks, listeners, friends of the show, first of all, get yourself over to stfgaming.com. There you will find links to all the video streams, all the Twitch streams, the YouTube stuff, reviews, more podcast stuff. I mean, really, just anything that you could possibly want. You can spend a day there. Twitter. We do some Twitter stuff as well. So yeah, all that, it's right there. Also, depending on what app or listening device you use, if you're enjoying the show, please leave us a rating and review. And the best way to spread the good word about the sun drop cult that we are clearly now starting. In sun we drop, indeed. Oh my goodness, that show title just makes itself. Yeah, by all means, spread the word, let others know about your love of Sun Drop and all the good things that it has given you. And while you're talking to him about Sun Drop, mention the Shotcast to him as well. So that'll do it for this time. Next time we will be living in a post Switch world. The next time we record.
It's weird. Maybe a post-Trump world if we get really lucky.
Who
if things are just kicking on all cylinders.
Would you say that at work, man? Days. Would you say that kind of stuff at work?
Yeah, I would say that at work for sure. Because that's like a 80-20 right now, and 80 to the he's gonna be gone soon.
Yeah, at this point, we're really just doing over-unders on when the impeachment is going to happen, not if.
Yeah. Vegas is going wild.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So get yourself one of the Holy Sun drops, then put your money on the day you think that President Donnie J is going to be in front of a congressional panel making his own version of the Checker speech. Is that too obscure a reference?
It's no.
Is that too
it's Nixon?
Too
that's
old?
A Nixon reference, yeah. Is what that is. Yeah,
it sure is. Yeah. You won't have old Donald Trump to kick around anymore.
I love the fucking Futurama Nixon character, man. That's one of my favorite parts of that show.
Right. My Nixon impression is an impression of their Nixon impression.
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, enough diverting. Folks, thank you again for listening. The only thing left now is for everyone to say goodnight. Say goodnight, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Sundrop.
Get yourself a sundrop.
Sundrop.